Mamas, it's Megan. As VBAC moms, we are accustomed to change. Perhaps a change in birth plans, or change in providers along your VBAC journey. One of our favorite brands, Coterie, is here for the changes in you and your baby's lives. We know that the little things can make a big impact, like a diaper that you can truly count on. Coterie is just that. These diapers are ultra soft, absorbent, and made with non-toxic materials, making them perfect for babies in every stage. Take 20% off your first order of $40 or more with code VBAC20 and experience the Coterie difference. You can find that at coterie.com and again, use code VBAC, VBAC20.
Hello, everybody. Today is the kickoff of the week of twins. So the last few months, we've been doing kind of a specialty week where we do two episodes back to back talking about a specific topic. And today is twins. Now, this is a rebroadcasted episode from like 2019, I think, which is kind of crazy, given it's 2025 now. Crazy to think that we've been doing stories that long. But I went back and listened to this story and I loved it. It was one of the first twin VBAC stories that we recorded, and Joey and I were just so giddy excited to be sharing a twin VBAC story. Twin VBAC stories are kind of like few and far between even now that we have on the podcast. So hey, if you guys are a twin, if you're listening and you're a twin VBAC, message us at info@thevbaclink.com. We would love to share your story on the podcast. But this story is one of our friend Jill, and she is sharing her journeys and what she had to go through to get a VBAC. And you know, it's going to be different than everybody else, but we really enjoyed her stories. And then we share at the end tips and stats on VBAC and twins. So I thought it was a really great one to kick off the week. Now I want to talk in a little bit in replace of the review. We have a blog on this. I'm going to make sure to put the link in the show notes for you. But we're talking about stats. Like, what are the stats? And how likely is it to have a VBAC, and can you have a VBAC if you have twins? The answer is yes, you can totally have a VBAC with twins. It's going to be something that may be a little harder to find just because twins in general, to have a vaginal birth is a little harder to find the support from a provider. Women with twin gestations who attempt VBAC have similar outcomes to women who have singleton babies. So really, TOLAC or trial of labor after cesarean should and could be considered in women who are wanting to go on and have a VBAC, with a previous cesarean. So we kind of go over some stats here, and there's a small retrospective study that was conducted by the International Journal of Gynecology and Obstetrics, and it was published in 2022. Looking at TOLAC success rates of twin mothers with no prior vaginal births. Now, Jill, if I'm remembering correctly, she did have a vaginal birth, a VBAC, before her twins VBAC. So there's that. But this is looking at studies with mothers who have no previous vaginal births. And the study indicates that 31% of those who attempted a TOLAC with twins and no previous vaginal birth achieved their VBAC. They also noted that those who chose an epidural may have had a greater chance of success. And additionally, there's another study in 2021 showing the risk of uterine rupture with twins that is possibly higher in VBAC groups compared to planned repeat cesarean, but both of those groups still are relatively low at 0.87% and 0.9%, respectively. So what does it all mean? It means that it is an option. It means that it's not something that if you have twins, you should feel completely ruled out and just know that you have to have a C-section. So check out this episode from Jill. Go dive into the studies. Look at the blog. And again, if you have a story to share with twin VBAC, please let us know. You can email us at info@thevbaclink.com. All right, you guys, have fun listening to cute Jill and her episode.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
All right, everybody, welcome. It's Wednesday, it's Podcast Wednesday, and we just have a wonderful special episode for you. Jill, we are so excited to hear your story. So let me just turn the time over to you. Take it away. Let's hear this awesome story.
All right. Well, thank you guys for letting me share my stories. So my first birth was a cesarean, and it started off because I went into labor 39 weeks, just over 39 weeks. My water broke, and I was planning a unmedicated birth at our local birth center. But because labor hadn't really kicked in for a good 24 hours, they transferred me to the hospital where I labored for, I think another somewhere between 15 and 20 hours on Pitocin, but ultimately reached 8 centimeters and stalled. So they called it a failure to progress, which is pretty typical. But then when I got pregnant with my second child, about 2.5 years later, I kind of went crazy in need of information on vaginal birth after cesareans. I had heard about them. I knew a few women who had had them, but it didn't occur to me how difficult it was going to be to find a provider, to find a location. So I spent most of that pregnancy sort of obsessing over finding the right people for my support team. And I was fortunate. I did find a doctor who actually is practice out of state. So I did have quite a commute. I had about a 30 to 35 minute commute to and from his office, but his VBAC success rate was 98%.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. He operated out of a small little hospital, which didn't bother me at all. But I was finding in Delaware, most doctors, seemed happy with the idea that they were, you know, at like a 75% success rate.
Yeah, that's still a pretty good rate.
Regardless, it's still pretty good, yeah. But of course, they always seem to have these little nuances to care, you know, like you had to
go
into labor by 41 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just didn't like that. I didn't feel comfortable with it, you know. So going out of state was kind of my only option. But I did go into labor with my second. She was born at 39 weeks, 5 days. So I actually started labor with her 4 days prior to her actually being born. I just had a really slow early labor. My latent labor was super slow. I started contracting on like a Tuesday night, and it never really let up until Saturday night. We were in the hospital Saturday evening, and the doctor actually sent us home Sunday morning. He said, nothing's happening. We're going to send you home.
Wow.
He gave me the rundown. If your water breaks, do this, you know, do that. And he said, but nothing's happening. It's just progressing really slow for you. So go home, which I kind of thought was incredible. Like, what doctor wants to send you home? I was at 5 centimeters at the time he sent me home.
Wow. What a good doctor.
That's impressive. For about 12 hours. Yeah. Yeah. So I was kind of floored that he was okay with letting me go home and just continue to labor on my own. So that's what I did. I went home Sunday morning, Sunday afternoonish. At this point, I don't remember really times, but Sunday afternoonish. I was laboring in my house alone while my husband was sleeping. And I had this picture of Ina Mae Gaskin that my doula had given me. And I remember looking at this picture, sobbing and saying, what do I do? This baby, I want her out. And what do I do at this point? I've been laboring so long. I just give up. Mm. And a little voice in my head said, go rest. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to lay down again and try to rest through all these contractions. And maybe two contractions after laying down, my water broke.
Oh,
so in a panic, I'm telling my husband, pack the bags, let's rush to the hospital.
Go back, yeah.
It's happening. Yeah, go back. Exactly. We were just gone for 4 hours. Let's go back. And we got there. And when the nurse checked me, I was still at 5 centimeters.
Oh.
And my poor husband's face. Oh my God, he looked so mad and so distraught.
Aww.
But in my head, I'm like, no, it's different. I can tell these contractions are different. It's coming. And 4 hours after that, I reached 10 centimeters and the doctor walked in. Not, 10 minutes after he walked in, I pushed her out in like 3 pushes and had
nice.
A successful VBAC, yeah. So maybe, oh gosh, I think it was like 15 months after that, I found out I was pregnant with twins. And it was already an unexpected birth or unexpected pregnancy. We had talked about wanting a third, but not really sure. And then just suddenly it happened. And we were meeting with a midwife, and I was going to skip the early 10-week ultrasound because I thought, well, third baby, I don't really need to see them that early. I know when I conceive, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of persisted. She said, well, you're saying you have a little bit of morning sickness and you didn't have it with your other pregnancies. And she thought, I was still breastfeeding my second child. So she thought, well, maybe, maybe this would be a good idea just to see what's going on. And I'm so glad we did. Because we did find out we were having twins, and that was a total shock.
Wow. Sure.
I remember the technician asking me if I knew what I was looking at, and she showed me the screen of these two little babies and two different sacks, and I just remember thinking, oh, my God, I know what I'm seeing, but I need you to tell me what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite process
Make
it.
Make this real for me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So after a quick cry about, just feeling overwhelmed about the thought of having two new babies, let alone one, my husband came in with my two children and she put it up on the screen and he went white. But my son, who, was so excited to even have a new baby at all, he was so excited that there were two, that it just eased the tension in the room and helped me feel a little more excited rather than nervous about having twins. So that was a very cute moment.
Hey mamas, it's Megan. As VBAC moms, we are accustomed to change. Perhaps a change in birth plans, or change in providers along your VBAC journey. One of our favorite brands, Coterie, is here for the changes in you and your baby's lives. We know that the little things can make a big impact, like a diaper that you can truly count on. Coterie is just that. These diapers are ultra soft, absorbent, and made with non-toxic materials, making them perfect for babies in every stage. Take 20% off your first order of $40 or more with code VBAC20 and experience the Coterie difference. You can find that at coterie.com and again, use code VBAC, VBAC20.
So that their pregnancy was obviously quite different. I did end up sticking with the doctor that I had my previous VBAC with. He was willing to have me with twins, which was amazing. I didn't have to look around for doctors. I spent so much time trying to find him previously. I think
I interviewed
5 or 6 different doctors. So it was just a relief that I could stay with him and be with him the whole time. And I already knew I liked him. And there was one other OB in his practice, so I got along with her okay as well, and they had two midwives, so it was a small practice. It was great. And about 2 months before my due date, they closed the maternity ward where he was going to deliver or help deliver the twins. So I ended up having to go. He had privileges at another hospital, but it was another, it was a 45-minute to an hour drive from my home. So I kind of said, well, look, I like him enough. I'm just going to do it. We're just, you know, if I have a baby in the car, I have a baby in the car, you know, or two babies.
Sounds like a dream birth to me.
Babies.
Yeah. I was actually terrified of having it in the car. In the house would have been fine. In the car, I was a little nervous about, but
yeah, I don't know. I think the car would freak me out, too. Yeah.
No way. I get the camera out. I'm like, you better stop driving and record this right now.
Well, it didn't help that we also had just purchased a brand new minivan, so I was a little worried
keeping
about
it
getting
clean.
That off.
Yeah.
Fine. Just rain on my period then.
So I had to change plans as far as where I was delivering, but I toured that hospital. It was great. It was a little bit larger than the last one, but it was still very cozy and warm feeling. And I kept, you know, when you're pregnant with twins, you keep hearing, you know, be prepared to have them early. So in my head, I kept thinking these babies are coming at like 35 weeks, which was right before Christmas. And the big joke was I had to wait till after the first. My due date was actually January 19th. So the joke was, well, wait till after January 1st because my husband had paid leave, which he could take if I had the babies after the first. So I sort of spent all of December like worried and concerned that if I bent the wrong way that, you know, my water might break, or if I picked up something, you know, something might happen with the babies. But I ended up, I reached 38 weeks with the twins, and the doctors all of a sudden started pushing for induction. They wanted these babies out by 38 weeks for some reason. Even maternal fetal medicine that I was seeing on a weekly basis was telling me, you know, wow, you have some good sized twins. They're probably both about 8 pounds. You want to get them out like soon. And I just was like, you know, no, I know that that's not entirely accurate. And, you know, they're cozy. I think it's fine. And not to mention, I also mentioned that I had been having contractions pretty regularly for about 3 weeks. So I was like, something's happening. It's just not happening on their time schedule. So at about 39 weeks and 5 days, I had my final OB appointment. And the midwife who was checking me was giving me grief about not going for this induction that they so wanted me to have. And she, of course, found a concern with one of the baby's heart rates and wanted me to get a non-stress test. And I thought, sure, you know, whatever. You're going to get me there and you're going to try to keep me there, but I'm not going to stay. So we go. They strap me in. I'm being tested, you know, like a 20-minute strip they want to take ends up being like an hour and a half.
It always does.
And
it always does.
The nurse comes in. Yes. I wasn't surprised. I'm also a doula, so I sort of knew the game plan that they were pushing here. And all day I'd been having contractions, but they were about 20 minutes to 15 minutes apart. So I wasn't really worried about it, but I knew something was happening. Whether it was going to happen today or tomorrow, I didn't know, but things were happening. So when the nurse came in with an admissions band and she puts it on my wrist, I'm like, what are you doing? And she says, oh, well, I talked to your doctor. He wants to admit you and get you on Pitocin by like 4 p.m. Now, mind you, it's like 1 o'clock. I had my husband and my two toddlers waiting for me in the waiting room, and they had been waiting there the whole time. So they're hungry, they're tired, and she wants me to be admitted. I have no bags with me. She wants me to wait another 3 hours to be even started on an induction. And I just looked at her and I said, that's not going to happen. I'm leaving. And much to her horror, she of course went through the whole litany of, well, you know, if water breaks, you might have the babies at home, or you might have the babies in the car. And I kept telling, you know, I don't care. Like, give me something to sign. I'm going to leave. I need to leave. So again, another 20 minutes goes by, And she finally comes in with a paper and I sign off and we leave. And maybe like 2 minutes into the 45 minute drive home, I start timing my contractions and they're now like 8 minutes apart. And I remember telling my husband, look, I don't know what's happening tonight, but the babies are coming. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay. He's like, the last one took a whole week. I'm sure this
the last one took a whole week.
Right away. Yeah, he was very laid back about the whole idea of it even happening suddenly. So when we got home, you know, I got everybody a nap. And then after nap, we had dinner. And as we're sitting eating dinner, I get this one contraction that I just have to really breathe through. And I said to my husband, I'm going to go up and take a bath. I'm kind of cramping, so I'm just going to take a bath and see if that will, you know, push it off a little. Well, I sat down in that tub, and I had, like, two massive contractions that I was like, I can't be in this tub. I got to get out. So I went to our room, and I labored on the ball, and I was on my birth ball for maybe half an hour to 45 minutes, and I'm calling him. I'm like, you got to get your sister up here. Your sister needs to come and get the kids. And his sister lives about an hour away. So the plan was for her to drive up, take my kids, and drive back to her house. So she was kind of taking her time, but I swear that was like the longest hour wait of my life because the contractions went from being about 8 minutes apart to all of a sudden, you know, every 2 minutes, I think, is what I finally timed them at. 2 minutes apart. They were extremely intense. My kids were in and out of the room watching me, which didn't really bother me. I actually kind of liked that they were watching me in labor.
Yeah.
And as soon as my sister-in-law came and I said goodbye to them, you know, I think she shut the door and I turned to my husband. I'm like, we have to go. And he's looking at me.
It's time.
He's like, no, we're going to take our time. Yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm feeling pushy, and we need to go. So he kind of, you know, dawdled around a bit more, and I feel like I barely made it to the car, and I was listening to Hypnobabies, so I popped that in my headphones and popped them in my ears while with the drive up there. And within an hour of getting to the hospital, I had the twins. I mean, we arrived and I was 8 centimeters.
Wow.
the nurses weren't even going to check me until I had this really big contraction right in the middle of the labor and delivery ward. My husband came over to give me something and I'm like, I need to hold you. And he's like, okay. And he held me and I let out, you know, one of those primal grunts.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just stopped and looked at me and said, oh my God, get her to a bed now. So they kind of like rushed me in there, checked me. And yeah, I ended up, I pushed a little bit longer this time. My twin A was a little broad in the shoulders. I think she had a little trouble coming out.
Aww.
But the second one, I mean, just kind of flew out. She was super easy. But yeah, it was a very uncomplicated, unmedicated, another hospital VBAC.
That is so awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah.
And so were they both head down the whole
time?
Yeah, I
was going to ask.
Did they do any special things like leading
up?
Yes. Yeah. So did they like
Well, the whole pregnancy, they kind of, so the whole pregnancy, they kept saying, you know, if baby A was head down, you know, I could have a vaginal birth with both of them. He was fine with a breech baby B, which was great. But I wasn't sure what that would mean. Because sometimes you hear moms saying, well, the doctor manually, you know, delivered the baby or tried to turn the baby. Mm-hmm. And I was a little terrified of that the whole time. But miraculously, no, they were both remained head down almost the whole pregnancy.
So
I don't
really
know. I'm
cool.
Taller, so I don't know if I had, like, more room for the two of them. But,
yeah.
They were good sizes. 6.5, 7.5.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and the nursing staff kept talking about how, you know, they couldn't believe that I was almost 40 weeks, that nobody had pressured me and to have these babies before then. And I kept thinking, you know, they did. I just said no.
You just stood up for yourself.
Yep. You know, I find that so often. You know, I have a twin client coming up right now, and they're, you know, like talking about 36 weeks, 37 weeks. I'm like, why? If these babies are doing well, why don't we just let these babies keep going? I mean, and she's all for it too. She's like, I don't want to
deliver 36 weeks. Like that just raises my chances of being
stuck
in the hospital for longer. And she's had two previous vaginal births, and they're like, keep telling her, like, you should just prepare for a C-section. You should just prepare for a C-section. And I keep telling her, like, not all babies have to, you know, twin babies have to be born via cesarean. So,
it's true.
In fact, you know, NCBI, they did a study. They were talking about the success rate for vaginal birth after cesarean with twins. And it says the success rate for vaginal birth after cesarean was 84.2% for twin pregnancies.
Wow.
Which is really high.
That is super high.
Yeah. And then in the conclusion, I'll have to post this link on our blog, but it says the option for a vaginal birth of twins after cesarean section appears to have similar risk and shares a similar likelihood of success to those with singleton pregnancy, which is really interesting because so many providers
assume
automatically that, nope, that's not okay. We can't do that. You know, we have to have a C-section. And and so many moms assume the second they find out that they have twins, that they just like mentally prepare themselves for a C-section.
Yep.
And so I love that you not only were educated personally, but like you really stood up for yourself. And, you know, it is really hard when you've got people saying like, you have to do this, you have to do this. It's really hard to be like, give me an AMA. Let me sign that and I'll leave.
Yeah, it is
hard. It's daunting and it's scary. Yeah. And then there's a lot of threats like, well, insurance won't pay for this if you leave, or, you know, there's so many things. So the fact that you did that and then you left and then your body just went into labor, you know, it's so, it's just so amazing. And you push these babies out and it's awesome. It's so awesome. So congratulations.
Yeah, we're super excited for you.
Thank you.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.